classic rock for the Jersey Shore. Welcome to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River, and powered by Community, Kimball, and Monmouth Medical Centers. Kevin Williams, Ed Sarluka, and Matt Harmon talk Shore Conference High School Football on the Shore Sports Network, 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
And if you're rushing down to see us at the Water Street Grill, you'll be disappointed. Because tonight, we are not there. This is the season finale. 14 weeks ago or so, we started on a Thursday night in early September, the Barnabas Health High School Football Show. Tonight, we wrap it up with a special edition, a one-hour only, in-studio. Tonight's show, the Fab 50. The 50 best football players from the Shore Conference. Well, 50 of the best football players from the Shore Conference. We'll kind of get into that momentarily. The coach, Ed Sarluka, joins me. Matt Harmon on special assignment, I guess. And will not be with us tonight. And, boy, you know, we said it last week, coach, as we were previewing the state sectional finals. You know, you start in the heat and humidity of summer and you end in the chill and frost of winter, right?
Yes, I had the heavy jacket coming down here today and about 45 minutes of traffic coming down. You could tell you could tell bridges are closed and communities are closed and Christmas season, everybody heading to the mall.
Well, I guess we have to start on a down note, and we'd be remiss if we didn't mention what was an O for last weekend. You know, I think we felt pretty good, especially heading into the state playoffs. We would have multiple sectional champions. At one time, thought maybe what, six or seven was not impossible. We went with five teams in the state finals last week. There were certainly a couple that would have been considered pretty good favorites. The Shore Conference goes 0-5, and boy, it's been a long time since we have not produced a sectional champion.
Yeah, I think that was. You know, I sort of ranked the top stories of the year, and I think that's, you know, came out number two in my list of football stories of the year in the Shore Conference. No winners. It's been since 1985.
Wow.
So
27 years
since we have not had a state champion, a sectional champion. And it was stunning, the results on Saturday. I had a chance, obviously we worked the Southern Williamstown game on Friday night, and then I was up at Rutgers working, and I saw two of the teams up there, Middletown South, go down, and Manalapan was the big surprise. They did get outplayed by South Brunswick, and I think South Brunswick deserved to win that football game, as did Sayreville against Middletown South.
Yeah, South Brunswick, 430 yards of offense. Manalapan really couldn't get him off the field in a 33-22 victory. And I think you would agree with me, that was the biggest surprise of the weekend as far as the Shore teams were concerned.
Exactly. That was by far the biggest surprise, and I think the best game of the five probably was Florence and Shore. We were familiar with the Florence team. They ran for 231 yards and beat Shore in very similar fashion that they beat Point Pleasant Beach, you know, the week before.
Yeah, this one went into double overtime. Boy, what a tough way for the Blue Devils to fall. They gave a really good effort. So Florence beats Point Beach and Shore, the top two seeds, on their way to another sectional championship. They're a perennial Group 1 power. And obviously, when you go through the top two seeds, you deserve a championship, and they did. Let's start real quick with the game we did on Friday night right here on the Hawk 105.7, and that was Williamstown at Southern down at Rowan University. It was a very entertaining start for the Rams. The offense looked great early, and then it just became a case, Ed, of they could not stop the Williamstown team, who ran for well over 300 yards.
Yeah, 311 yards on the ground. Didn't have to throw the ball much. Only threw it nine times. But that's another case where Southern really couldn't get, you know, off the field defensively. You know, they looked okay offensively. And, you know, they had over 400 yards themselves in total offense. But they just couldn't get when they needed the big stop, Southern, they just couldn't get it. And then, of course, the second half, the rain hit. That made it difficult for Danny Higgins and also the receivers to run patterns and Danny Higgins to throw the ball. He played the game with two gloves on his hands. The gloves were consistently getting wet, you know, being on the field there. I could see he was having trouble, you know, handling the football, and that certainly didn't help the heavy rain in the second half.
Rams gave it a good effort, but fell just short against a very good Williamstown team that finishes undefeated and wins its first ever championship. Also on Saturday at Rutgers, it was Sayreville beating Middletown South 35-28. And I would have to say the Eagles gave a really good account of themselves against a powerful and undefeated Sayreville team. And Middletown South was in this one till the end.
Yeah, Sayreville's one of the best public schools in the state for sure. That's their third championship in a row, so you can see where their program is right now. Coach George Najjar. George Najjar from Middletown, ironically, a neighbor of of the school, Middletown South. So he's very familiar with the Shore Conference, and he certainly has had our number in the Shore Conference the last 3 years.
And finally, TCNJ on Saturday, it was Nottingham outscoring Neptune 35-24, and that was the made it 0-5.
Yeah, Ajay Patterson for Neptune, the quarterback, who you'll hear from later, 308 yards in the air. He had to throw it 38 times. Again, Neptune over 400 yards of total offense. I was kind of surprised by looking at all the games with the offensive display. You know, it was a nice day on Saturday when most of the games were played, so the weather was absolutely no factor. Of course, all the games on turf, which aids the running and the offensive exploits of some of the teams. But offensive numbers galore, you know. Good for the fans.
Oh, absolutely. So here's what we do, and we've done this the last couple of years. And, we always preface this, and, you know, I'll get some nasty emails tomorrow because it never fails. We always preface this by saying is there are multiple all-star teams that are available. We know the Asbury Park Press will come out this weekend with their all-shore teams. The Star Ledger will do the same. Our friend Scott Stump from All Shore Media will have his all-shore teams out. And we do something a little bit different. We just sort of reach out to the coaches. We got tremendous feedback from the Shore Conference coaches. Almost every one of them participated, asking for their help in nominating their players who they feel belong on our Fab 50, as well as other players they have seen during the year who in their mind have to be on it. And we kind of put it down on paper, and, you know, we look at things, and we don't just use that. We see a lot of football. You see more than anyone I know. Maybe you and Scott Stump probably have seen more games than anyone at the Shore this year. So, you know, your impact and games we broadcast and things like that certainly play into it. And we come up with a list. It's not a perfect list. It's not necessarily a balanced list. Not every team is represented. Some teams are represented by multiple players. Players get lost in things like this. And, you know, everyone might say, well, 50 players is easy. 50 players is basically your first and second all-shore teams. We don't have a third, and we don't have an honorable mention. So, you know, normally those kids who just miss, you know, first or second, you can put them somewhere. We don't have a place to put them. So there are kids who we leave out who are going to make all-star teams, are going to make all-shore teams, who probably belong on this, but you just can't get them all right. It's impossible.
Yeah, for instance, the Asbury Park Press this Sunday will honor over 80 players on their three teams. By the time they do punter, kickers, specialty teams, return teams, players of the year. So, you know, very difficult to pick even 50.
And then what we do is we add a little to it at the end, not at the end, but we add a little to it by this year we're honoring a player of the year in both Monmouth and Ocean County and a coach of the year in both Monmouth and Ocean County as chosen by their peers along with us. And our first guest tonight is our Monmouth County coach of the year. And this is what you call the proverbial turnaround. 2-8 last year, 9-2 this year. In his fourth season at Colts Neck, Greg LaCava has done a wonderful job, and he is being honored for those accomplishments and that turnaround, and he joins us on the Barnabas Health High School Football Show. Congratulations on being voted our Monmouth Coach of the Year. Truly deserving.
Thank you, guys. How are you guys tonight?
We're good, and we're glad to talk to you. And, you know, I know you would have rather been talking to us, like, you know, after a state sectional game last weekend. But this has really got to be a credit to you and your staff for a job well done.
Well, you know, this is a tremendous honor. But you guys know it takes a team effort. It takes special players and special assistant coaches. And everything just happened to fall into place this year, and our kids came together, and our coaches, our assistant coaches, did a great job. And when you have all that stuff falling into place, hopefully you can have a successful season. And we were fortunate to do that this year.
Greg, congratulations from my point here. I did see your Middletown South game, the second game. I didn't see the first one, and was impressed the way you battled. I mean, Middletown South was on top of their offensive game. I'm sure you'd be the first to say that. They seemed unstoppable that day. It's just one of those games. Unfortunately for, you know, the Cougars, it happened against you on a semifinal round Saturday. But, you know, what were your feelings as that game, you know, got into the third and fourth quarters? You guys kept coming back on them, and then they would score and so on.
Right. I thought, first of all, our team, our players did a great job battling in there. I mean, they were in an element they've never been in before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they fought their hearts out for 48 minutes. And unfortunately, in the end, you know, we were chasing 10 points the whole game, 14 points, and Middletown South made big plays when they needed to. I felt going into the third and fourth quarter this was going to be a shootout, and it really was a shootout. Surprisingly for us, if you would have said that we were going to score 35 points and lose the game, I'd tell you, I don't think that was going to happen, but right. Playoff football. So we chased those points, and our kids battled, and I knew going in it was going to be another game where we had to throw the ball to be successful, and Mike Campbell did a great job. He threw for 389 yards, a school record, and it just wasn't our day on the defensive side of the ball, and that's what happens in playoff games. And unfortunately, we were on the losing end of that.
You know, Greg, some of your players are going to be honored later by being on our top 50 players. But, you know, you had your quarterback, Mike Campbell, who basically really came out of nowhere, right, had a tremendous season this year.
Definitely. And, Mike, in our eyes, we knew he was going to be a special football player. You know, last year he was behind Dylan Cottrell, who was a two-year starter, And he was a great player for us as well. But Mike, we knew going in when the season ended last year that Mike was going to be our starter, and it was just going to, be a matter of him doing what we saw him doing in practice every day as our scout team quarterback and as our backup quarterback. So we were confident in Mike. Our concerns were we were little with our offensive line only returning one starter, but those guys really worked hard this year, and they gave us opportunities to run the football. One of the most impressive things for me, and it's a tribute to our players and our assistant coaches, we were able to run the ball and throw the ball. I mean, we had almost 2,200 yards passing and 1,900 yards rushing, and that puts a lot of pressure on defense, but it's a tribute to our players really doing a great job.
First, I got to correct myself. You were not 2-8 last year. 2-8 will come up a little bit later in our show tonight. You were 6-4 last year, I believe, and closed very strong. But let me ask you this. Now that you can look back, should we have been surprised that you went 9-2 and had such an outstanding season from the get-go?
I think based on the fact that we graduated 25 seniors off a really battle-tested team the 2 years prior in 2010 and 2011, we played a very difficult schedule week in and week out, and those guys battled till the end. I think we missed the playoffs by one power point. But we were concerned going into this year based on the graduation. But like I said, our kids really, have bought into the system. These kids that are seniors this year were freshmen when we came in our first year. So they've been with us for 4 years. And, they've heard our voices. They understand what we're trying to do. They walk and talk the way we expect them to do it. And again, going in, we had a lot of question marks, but I think our guys really answered those.
Greg, a couple questions. Number one, how many seniors will you graduate this year? And it's great to have one of the better running backs in the Shore, and Anthony Gargiulo, coming back to build around.
Right. We graduate 14 seniors this year. So that's almost half, a little more than half of what we graduated last year. you know, it's going to be very difficult to replace Mike Campbell and Timmy and some of those guys on our defensive side of the ball and you know, Frank Lefkowitz and Gio Zeffirino, one of my favorite players. But, you know, we feel we have a core. And, again, we have to, you know, our standards now have been set. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make sure we sell that point to our players starting at our banquet on Sunday, that the bar has been raised. And, you know, these guys that are moving on, they're going to have great college careers, whether they're academic or athletic. And the guys that are coming back understand that they have to reach that bar.
Well, I don't think you're one-hit wonders, that's for sure. Let me just say while you're here, because we'll piecemeal this throughout the night, three of your players, and I know you'd probably like to have about 10 of them, and you could probably make a case for it, but three of your players earned spots on our squad, and you've sort of touched on them all. Mike Campbell, your senior quarterback, Timmy Vangelis, your senior wide receiver, and the junior that Ed mentioned, Anthony Garguilio, your running back, so he's a good place to build on. But all three on our Fab 50, I know there could be more, and you'd want more, but we truly believe this is not a one-hit wonder. We think we'll be talking about Colts Neck a lot next fall. So on behalf of us here and your fellow coaches, congratulations on a great, great season, and we look forward to seeing you next fall.
Guys, thank you very much. I really appreciate your support of me and our program. And, you know, you guys do a great job for Shore Football. So I wish you guys continued success and have a great holiday season and a great new year.
Same to you and your family and the Cougar family. Thanks, Greg.
You're welcome.
Thank All right, Greg LaCava, our coach of the year, and really a nice story, Ed. They were solid from week one.
Yeah, I had a chance to see him three different times during the year, and you know, very impressed each time I saw him. Good size and well, you know, well coached. Assistant coaches into the game, you know. And by the way, as you mentioned prior, the coach of the year is not arbitrarily given out. It's voted by his peers in Monmouth County, so well earned.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. It's the Fab 50, plus a couple of other things, tonight on the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.
Whether it's a black tie wedding or a night out on the town with friends, let Lacey Limo be your designated driver for any event. Giants, Jets, and Eagles fans, tailgate in style at the Meadowlands or at the Lincoln Philly. Party before and after the biggest concert of the year. Enjoy a Broadway show and day of shopping in New York. Hit the jackpot in Atlantic City. And, of course, Lacey Limo will use more than 20 years' experience to help make your wedding day unforgettable. Lacey Limo's tuxedo-clad chauffeurs drive nothing but the best, latest model limousines and provide you with prompt door-to-door service. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Lacey Limo's stretch limousines and vans are always on time, always immaculate, always comfortable, and fully stocked with soft drinks, snacks, and glassware. To book your limo for a wedding, airport transportation, or any special occasion, log on to LaceyLimo.com. Lacey Limo, your designated driver for any event and the official limousine service of 105.7 The Hawk.
There's something special about seeing your son take the field with his team. The roar of the crowd as they charge between lines of cheerleaders, fists punching the cool night air. You hear the tinny echo of the PA and the familiar fight song from the marching band. And it takes you back to when you were on that field, in these stands, so many years ago. This is the stuff high school memories are made of. Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers are proud to be a part of Jersey Shore High School football. And should the need arise, we're ready with the region's most experienced team of orthopedic sports medicine specialists, experts in the very latest minimally invasive techniques. Football season won't last forever, but the memories will. To learn more about the extraordinary orthopedic care you'll find at Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers, visit barnabashealth.org or call 888-724-7123.
You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show, powered by Community Kimball and Monmouth Medical Centers. Live from the Water Street Bar and Grill in Toms River. Classic rock for the Jersey Shore. 105.7 The Hawk and 105.7thehawk.com.
We honor our Fab 50 tonight, culminating the football season here at the Shore Conference. By the way, all our honorees, our two coaches of the year and players of the year, will receive really nice plaques from us to hang and a tribute to their season. Well, I said 2-8 would come back into play a little bit later. Later is now. The Lakewood Pioneers were 2-8 last year. The Lakewood Pioneers were 7-3 this year. Their second-year coach, a man who oozes enthusiasm and is always positive, and caps that second season by being named our Ocean County Coach of the Year, is L.J. Clark, and he joins us on the phone tonight. L.J., congratulations.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I mean, Ocean County has a rich tradition of football and great teams, and just being honored for even nominated for this is great, and I'm truly humbled, and thank you. I thank all the coaches.
Well, this is a deserving honor. You know, we had a chance to have you on our show earlier in the year, and we just came away so impressed with your beliefs and your players and your program, and you were able to take that. You know, it's one thing to say it. You got to sometimes back it up, and you were able to transfer that to your players, and really a 7-3 season. And let's be honest, this is a program a few years ago that many of us assume might even fold up and not be able to field the varsity team. And here you were this year, just as close as you could be to even winning a division title, and you made the state playoffs, gave a good account of yourselves. What a season.
I mean, again, it takes, the whole program. I mean, from the administrators helping out with Mr. Craggs, our athletic director, from our principal, to all my assistant coaches. Being my second year, I finally got to choose my coaches. And Jameel Jackson, Kevin Friedman, Steve School, Keith Calais, and Evan Bobbles, my staff is great, man. It's a great staff. I couldn't ask for better. But the bottom line is the kids are great. You know, you only lead with senior leadership. And when you got guys like Tyrese Beverett, Marquise Oliver, Herbie White, and Tyrone Wimberly, and Anthony Cook, I mean, those kids are great. Good leaders, great kids, and it rubbed off on the underclassmen, and the results proved.
LJ, congratulations, and you mentioned, and I'll let you know right now, that two of your players were selected for our Fab 50. You just mentioned a couple of them, Tyrese Beverett and Marquise Oliver, were on our team. Beverett obviously has played 4 years in the program. What did his leadership and ability mean to the Pioneers?
I mean, it's getting like a broken. Describe Tyrese. He's a better person than he is a football player. And you know, when you tell people that, they look at you like, "Wow!" I mean, he's an outstanding player. But even the games he didn't play, he didn't pout, he didn't moan. He was out there coaching every day. People see the 7-3 and they say, "Oh, you know, you guys got it going." See, I remember when we were 0-27, and Tyrese was coming to practice every single day. You know, never missing a practice, telling the kids, you know, we have weight room. All this stuff, all these little things that people don't see behind the scenes with our captains, you know, getting in practice, picking kids up for practice, making sure everybody's doing the right thing in school. That's the key. You know, he leads by example on and off the field, along with the rest of my captains, and that's a big reason why the success we had this year.
I guess maybe, you know, when you look back, and you're going to look back, and your staff is going to look back with great satisfaction about this season, what you did for your program, what it did for the school and the community. I guess one of the disappointing things was early in the year, Tyrese was not 100% medically. You had trouble keeping him in the lineup, and really the game that kind of haunted you and probably cost you the division title was Monsignor Donovan, who eventually won it, and you just didn't have him. And boy, you would have liked to have him for a couple of those games early in the year, huh?
I mean, absolutely. You look back, you know, now, and you say, wow, you know, we're up 18-13 with 2 minutes and a half left, and we fumble the snap trying to run the clock out. And if Tyrese plays, who even knows? I mean, Mondon's a great team. Who even knows if the game's close if he plays? But if I had to do it again, 100 times out of 100 times, I wouldn't have played him. If he's not 100%, he wasn't going to play. I mean, we're talking about a kid who's getting... I mean, today he got three offers today. Just today he got three offers to play college football.
Wow.
He's a great athlete, and he's a great student. You know, he's in the National Honor Society. He's a 3-8 kid. I wouldn't risk any help. I treat all these kids. I love my kids, all my football players, from the worst kid to the best kid. And that's the mentality I take when I coach, is that I wouldn't do anything to these kids that I wouldn't do for my son. And if he's not 100%, he's not going to play. I mean, yeah, it looks bad because we lost to Mondon, but at the same time, you know, we're graduating only four on offense and three on defense. And all those underclassmen won two. They can win without Tyrese. You know, even though we didn't win that game, Mondon won the division, and we played them. We had them beat. So it kind of, to be honest with you, I don't think if we lost Mondon, I don't think we would have had the season we had.
I really don't. I think we learned a lot from that loss, and as a coach, I did too. And I thought that helped us a lot during the year.
You know, LJ, they've got to invent a new word because passionate doesn't fit you. I mean, you're beyond passionate. And I know you also coach basketball. Is it tough getting into basketball, freshman basketball, after this season? And, you know, I'm sure you're talking to college coaches left and right for some of your players, as you mentioned, Tyrese and so on. Is it tough to get into basketball?
It's funny you say that. We're coming back. We had a scrimmage in Atlantic City Saturday, and all the kids were on their phones checking Twitter about with the Neptune Nottingham game, and they all just looked at me in the back of the bus like, man, we should be playing right now.
Yeah.
You know, like the kids, I mean, the buzz of football is still in the air at Lakewood. I mean, the kids are, you know, we got kids, they're playing other sports. They ask me every day, Coach, we got to get in the weight room. You know, we got to get ready for next year. We got to get ready for next year. I mean, Chappelle Cook, I mean, him and Amir Tyler, they asked me, and Detrell Reed asked me every day, Coach, you know, could we lift after basketball? Could we lift after basketball? I mean, these kids, you know, the bar that Marquise and Tyrese and Herbie, these guys set is remarkable, because the underclassmen, they're stepping up right in their footsteps right now, and they want to get it going right now. They want to play right now.
Well, listen, I could talk to you for an hour. You're a good dude to talk to, and you know we said that when we had you on your show, and I'll say it again to you tonight. Boy, has Lakewood struck gold, because you're a guy from the community. You believe in the town, the program. More importantly, you believe in your kids, and I think that's been proved by what you and your staff have been able to do in just a couple of years. And I don't think, as I said earlier, you're not a one-hit wonder next year. I know this year we'll be talking about Piner football next fall. So our congratulations to you. We've got a nice award. We'll get it to you. I hope you and your family and your Piner family has a very joyous holiday season. Great job this year.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you to you guys and Scott Stump. You know, you guys do a great job covering the shore, and these high school kids really enjoyed all the coverage you guys go. I can't thank you guys enough. I mean, I wish I had this when I was in high school. You guys do a great job.
It's our pleasure. Guys like you make it easy. Thanks, LJ.
All right. Happy holidays.
Same to you. LJ Clark from Lakewood, our Ocean County Coach of the Year. I could play for him.
You know, I saw him.
He must. You know what? We got to go next year. He's got to do a great pregame speech, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, no, I'm sure he does. You know, I saw him on the basketball court with freshman football players, and I sat with him for maybe 20 minutes before the game on the bench, and he was pointing out, well, that kid's playing for me. I got him out. This kid's playing for me next year. Look at the size of look at his legs over there. Look at his thighs. And, I mean, he's just so passionate. It's amazing. And just what they needed.
And the big thing is, because he's involved with basketball and has a great relationship with Randy Holmes, the head coach there, basketball players are now playing football because they're
athletes.
That's
what I meant, exactly.
You know, it's not just a one-sport thing. All right, Ed, let's take a couple of moments to run down some of these kids. And by the way, our Fab 50 will be posted on our website at 8 o'clock tonight. That is SureSportsNetwork.com. But here they go, and we'll start here with a senior from Barnegat High School. Outstanding wide receiver, also a standout on defense. Caught 42 passes for three touchdowns, intercepted three passes. Pat Moran from Barnegat High School. This young man from Brick Memorial had a stretch of games early in the year that is as good as anyone has ever had. The best news for Brick Memorial, he's back next year. Junior slot back and defensive back, Mike Basile. How special is he?
Yeah, he's a good one. You know, hurt by injuries the second half of the year, or his numbers would have been off the chart, and a nice kid to build around for the Mustangs.
No question about it. Now, across town, the Brick Green Dragons did not have a great season, but they had two players who really stood out all season long. Senior defensive end Dan Watson, who had 18 sacks, and Ed, many coaches commented, as good a defensive end as they have seen in years in Ocean County. Was a monster and impossible to block. And what was nice is, if he didn't get him, the guy behind him did, and that was linebacker and running back Doug Cuccinello. Among his 121 tackles, 10 sacks, so combined two of them, 28 sacks.
Well, Watson follows in his senior graduating Winters last year, who's now at Monmouth University, and Cuccinello, hurt by injuries earlier in the year, got himself himself healthy, and Brick played much better the second half of the year.
Holmdel High School did some nice things under Frank Papalia this year, especially early. One of the big reasons why is their senior linebacker and offensive lineman, Brett Lambert, 141 tackles among the tops in the Shore this year. A sophomore, the lone sophomore on our squad, and we know we're going to hear a lot from this young man, from Jackson Liberty High School, quarterback, defensive back, Matt Castronova. We saw him late in the year. We liked him, Ed.
Yeah, he's a good one. When they made the switch at quarterback to Castronova, the Lions took off, got themselves into the playoffs.
Jackson Memorial High School had a very good junior linebacker and also ran the ball well, Ken Bradley. He earns a spot on the squad.
On the wrestling mat right now, and one of the better wrestlers around, and only a junior.
Only a junior. Well, Lacey High School won the Class A South Championship, had a perfect season until the state players when they lost to Kingsway. Can't be surprised the Lions put four players on this team. Senior wide receiver and defensive back, Bill Belford. Senior running back and defensive back, Kyle Spatz. Senior center, the anchor of the offensive line, Tyler Walsh. And junior wide receiver, defensive back, Christian Titella.
Yeah, Christian is back next year. Outstanding punter also for the Lions. I think we could have picked probably four more and been very satisfied. Four more Lions. Unfortunately, we kept it at four. Well deserved.
Long Branch had a terrific season for Danny George, and this young man was a big reason why. Rushed for 1,100 yards and also made 130 tackles on defense. Jaceel Jackson.
Yeah, great running back also. Had to carry the load until Dwight Clark came back the last couple games of the season.
Great year for the Green Wave. Well, Manalapan, a division championship. And Ed, we thought a state sectional title was coming for Coach Ed Guerrieri. They fell short, but these four guys did not fall short at all this year. We'll start with senior lineman John
Apice. Yep.
Both ways, two-way standout, an outstanding lineman.
Yep, he was a good one. Outstanding, played very well on Saturday up at Rutgers.
Junior linebacker, who also did a little bit of everything, right? Chris Nasquez, who's back next year. That's good news for the Braves.
Yeah, I think he was probably, without a doubt, their best linebacker. They played, although the offense got a lot of the headlines, they played very well defensively.
And I don't know if anyone could have a better pair of wide receivers than the Braves had this year, and they both are on this Fab 50. We'll start with junior Saeed Blacknell, because he'll be back next year. Just a tremendous, tremendous season for the Braves. And then there's that senior, Harvard-bound Anthony Ferkser, one of the four players who made our squad last year, who's back this year.
Yeah, had a super game on Saturday in the championship game. Played very well, as did, Isabella, their quarterback, who easily could have been on this team.
No question.
You know, he had a super year, and it's nice to have receivers like that. And Saeed Blacknell, you're going to hear a lot about that kid next year. He is a major college prospect.
Those two guys, by the way, combined for 83 catches, 1,700 yards, and 20 touchdowns.
1,700 yards.
Two receivers.
Most teams don't have that many all year.
Nope. The Manasquan Warriors closed strong at the end of the year. This guy was a big reason why. He was kind of their leader through some tough times late in the year with all the things that went on with the storm, and that is senior Connor Grogan, both a wide receiver and defensive back. Of course, you saw him on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah, pretty good player. I mean, best player on that Manasquan team, deserves to be on this team.
The Huskies of Mattawan under John Kay had a very good fall, and they've got a dynamic duo on this team. Senior two-way lineman standout, Seamus Weldon, and senior linebacker and running back, but a really good linebacker in Dan Ankle.
Yeah, handled themselves very well when we had them down at the Water Street Grill during the course of the season. Both spoke very well, represented the Huskies very well.
Middletown South. Well, Eagles gave a great account of themselves down the stretch, almost pulled out a state sectional championship under Coach Steve Antonucci. He's got three players on this team. Junior defensive end and tight end Taylor Hendrickson, senior two-way lineman Mike Roybal, and senior running back, defensive back, kind of the do-it-all kind of guy, Eli Smith.
Yeah, Eli really came on at the end of the year and got a lot of the carries from Jake Ripnick, who was the leader of that offensive backfield earlier most of the year. Taylor Hendrickson will be one of the top returning players in the Shore, a major college recruit.
Well, here's a major college recruit, but he's already decided on the college. He's headed to the University of Virginia. He was also on our squad last year. He is Monsignor Donovan, offensive lineman Brad Henson, but he's not the lone Griffin. The Class B South champions also put running back, defensive back Grant Klimek on the squad. What a fall it was for the Griffs.
Yeah, running that slot offense, Klimek did a nice job, and Henson, made his college choice early, smart decision, relaxed, played football, leading his team up front.
Well, here's another one. There were a lot of good wide receivers this year. Boy, picking an all-Shore first team must be brutal. Jeff Fairbanks from Neptune, 46 catches, 790 yards, and 8 touchdowns. He looks great on a field, but he plays great on the field.
Yeah, I think, Monmouth University would love to have a kid like that,
Yes, they would. A junior from Ocean, an outstanding linebacker, and Dan Loizos, 118 tackles for the Big Red this year.
Yeah, the Big Red, struggled a little bit this year, but have a lot of kids coming back. Talked to Donnie Klein just a couple days ago at a basketball scrimmage, and kids were in the weight room already, and they're ready to go for next year. They're going to be better.
Needless to say, it was a magical fall for Point Pleasant Beach High School, unfortunately, until the semifinals of the state playoffs when they were upset by Florence. But Kyle Samaritano and Lucas Jordy, a pair of seniors, well, they certainly did their job. Jordy provided a lot of the holes for Samaritano to run for, as Kyle rushed for 940 yards and scored a total of 14 touchdowns. Also a standout defensive player. He was brilliant against Florence. Samaritano and Jordy, part of what was a great fall at Point Beach.
Yeah, you were very impressed with Samaritano at linebacker in that loss to Lawrence. He made a million tackles. And don't fret, Garnet Goals. Don't think we left anybody out. We'll talk to you later about a couple more players.
There's a quartet from Red Bank Catholic. The KCs were the number one team with the Shore just about all season long. They may finish as the number one team with the Shore. Their only loss to the number one team in New Jersey, St. Joe's of Montville, the only game RBC lost all year. Trying to only pick four from their team was almost impossible. I think we did a pretty good job. We took senior two-way standout, but I think best known for his defensive line play, Josh Klecko. His partner up front, and a guy who will be maybe among the most recruited players in New Jersey next year, in junior Quinton Nelson. Senior, wide receiver, defensive back, return specialist, James Taylor, and another senior, does a lot of the same things, Chris Whitlock.
James Taylor does a little singing also on the side, but Quinton Nelson, by all accounts, will probably be the Garrett Sickles next year.
What a great segue.
There you go.
Next on our list. Very good, Ed. Next on our list from neighboring Red Bank Regional High School. He is the fourth and last guy on our squad last year, who's back this year. Garrett Sickles, the defensive end and tight end who played all season knowing where he was going. He's heading to Happy Valley. He'll be at Penn State next fall. What a great career he had at Red Bank.
Yes, he did. He played a little tight end. He played a little defense. They put him in the backfield occasionally. Had a chance to see Red Bank once this year and was impressed. Had a couple of close ball games earlier in the year and then, of course, came on at the end.
Shane Fallon had another outstanding season at Rumson. A couple of reasons why was his senior quarterback, Danny Roberto, and another senior by the name of Travis Clark. Good combination. Two guys who really led the Purple Bulldogs the last couple of years, Ed.
Yeah, Danny Roberto, one of the top quarterbacks in the Shore in our Fab 40, 50. We've got quite a few quarterbacks on this team.
Well, here's a guy who probably from a stat standpoint will not wow you. But he did everything for Shore Regional. He ran it, he caught it, he intercepted it, he returned it. He just had a marvelous season and led the Blue Devils into the Group 1 championship game, senior Mark Costantino Jr.
Of course, the son of the head man, Mark Costantino, played very well on Saturday up at Rutgers, at TCNJ in that 17-14 double overtime loss. In a game where Shore had a chance to win it in regulation, field goal just wide, otherwise they go home with a championship, but a good football player.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and give you the final group of players, part of this Fab 50. We'll do that after this. You're listening to the Barnabas Health High School Football Show on 105.7 The Hawk.